Good morning. How is everybody doing today? I'm Brandon Kiley. The show is The Morning Blitz. We are coming to you live here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. Coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. So what now? What do the Rams do now? We'll discuss that coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. Plus, at 7:45, my guy Matt Miller is going to join us to discuss the NFL, what the Chiefs' expectations should be this year. Plus, we'll ask him what the Rams should do now that Sam Bradford's out. And he seems to be really, like the Colts this year. I'm not such a big fan. We'll discuss that coming up at 7:45, but it is game week, baby. It is time to discuss Mizzou football. We've discussed all the scrimmages. We've discussed everything surrounding this team. We've discussed the ins and outs of the team. We have discussed basically everything that you can possibly discuss about this team without actually getting into a game situation. That changes as of right now. And that changes as of this week. It is officially game week. Mizzou plays South Dakota State this week. And I'm pumped, first of all. But second of all, I think there is a unit on this team that people haven't been looking at that has the potential not to be good, but has the potential to be absolutely great. Now, we've all talked about the questions at the quarterback position. We've talked about the questions at receiver. I've told you how I really like the offensive line and the running backs. We have talked about the defensive line a little bit. We haven't really talked about the defense in general and what they have the ability to do. So let's go ahead and look at what they did last year. Last year, Mizzou ranked 34th in the country when it comes to points per game allowed. They allowed 23 points per game, and I wanted to see if that was any different than what their conference points per game was allowed, and it was actually the exact same number. They allowed 23.1 points per game on the season, and they allowed just over 23 points per game during the conference schedule. So basically, the defense wasn't playing over their head during the non-con. It was basically the same D for the entire season. Well, this year, I believe not only that the defense could be better, I believe they could rank top 10 to 15 in the country in terms of points allowed per game. Last year, for a little bit of perspective, a little bit of context for what that means, the teams ranked between 10 and 20 in terms of how many points per game they were giving up. Basically gave up 17 to 21 points per game. So you're only reducing your points per game by like two a game for the year, basically, to be in the top 15 or 20. In the past, Mizzou has ranked pretty well defensively, better than actually I remember them being. Basically, every year they fluctuated between 23 and 28 points per game, with the lone outlier being 2010 when Mizzou gave up 16 points per game. I think that Mizzou this year has the chance to be great defensively. So great, I think they could rival that 2010 defense that was ranked sixth nationally, giving up 16 points a game. And I think they can do it on the back of, in my opinion, the best defensive tackle unit in the entire country. I don't think there's anybody in the country that has a better rotation at defensive tackle than the Missouri Tigers have right now. They have four guys that Matt Hoke says are starters, basically. I was talking to Matt Hoke yesterday, starting defensive tackle for Mizzou, and I was just kind of talking to him about the rotation that they have, and he's like, look, dude, we have four guys here that could start anywhere. This is my conversation with Matt Hoke.
These guys, Harold, me, Louis V, Augusta, I think all four of us could start at any other big school. So it's good to have that experience there. They all played last year with us, and it's good to have those guys that you can count on when the going gets tough.
That's Matt Hoke yesterday. Gary Pinkel backed up what he was saying, and he also talked about Harold Brantley, who had a great camp, first of all, but he was listed fourth on the depth chart before camp started. He's now listed as a quote-unquote or starter, so basically it's either Matt Hoke or Harold Brantley. They're going to be working in about 50-50. This is Coach Pinkel yesterday on that rotation that he expects to have at defensive tackle this year.
I just think it's very positive. You know, with Lucas Vincent, had the best he's ever looked was the last 3 weeks since he's been here. So I just think Harold's doing exceptionally well. And Matt has not, and nothing against, you know, certainly his desires, but, you know, he had, you know, some issues, you know, health-wise. And so really that just says that, hey, we look at all three of those guys as starters, and that's a plus and that's a positive. So Matt's doing real well. And, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Look, you don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take Matt Hoke's word for it. You don't have to take Gary Pinkel's word for it. But what about Marcus Golden, who appears to be the best player on this team, who will tell you like it is, and he will make sure that if you don't believe, he's going to make sure that you believe what he's saying. And he's pretty convincing in the way he says things. This is Marcus Golden on his expectations for Brantley and Josh Augusta, who I think's primed for a breakout season this year.
Oh, yeah, Josh and Harold, man, them guys are ready, man. Josh Augusta, big kid that plays hard, and I can't wait to get him out there and see what he's doing the game week. And Harold's a beast, man. Everybody knows that. Everybody that's been watching Harold knows he's a beast and the kid can play football. So I'm ready to just let Harold get going, and I can't wait. I just can't wait to Saturday and everybody get in the real game.
So that's Marcus Golden yesterday. Now, what I think is the most important aspect to what Mizzou has on defense right now is the fact that they have so many players that can rotate in and out at defensive tackle, at defensive end, at linebacker, at cornerback. They have depth everywhere on defense this year, more so than I can remember really at any time from a Mizzou team. The only thing that I can remember that they've had this much depth at in the past is like running back and receiver. This year they go four deep, really five deep, because they have Hatley as well at the defensive tackle rotation, but four deep in terms of guys that you really believe could start on any given day. They have two starting defensive ends, starting caliber defensive ends, but I feel fine about Charles Harris and Marcus Loud coming in. At linebacker, you've basically got your three guys that are starting, and then you've got three guys behind them that if they had to make spot starts, I'd be fine with it. Kenya Dennis is going to be great at cornerback. He's a JUCO kid that's coming in, and he was a star during fall camp. And then at safety, you've got Deron Singleton, who's their nickel, and if he had to come in a pinch, I wouldn't worry about that whatsoever. Mizzou has depth at defense like they used to on offense. I remember when Mizzou first came in to the SEC, and TJ Moe was talking about the differences between the Big 12 and the SEC, and he said, look, in the Big 12, we used to put all of our athletes on offense. We put all of our guys at receiver, at running back, at quarterback. In the SEC, everybody puts their athletes on defense. That's the biggest difference, is like the SEC is just much quicker. They're much faster. They're much stronger defensively. Offensively, it's pretty similar. And the teams, really the amount of talent that you have aren't all that much different. It's just constructed differently. Now, I beg to differ. I think that the talent in the SEC is much higher than the talent in the Big 12, but I kind of see what he was saying there, and I've already seen the switch at Mizzou. You can already see a tangible difference in the way that Mizzou constructs their roster. Instead of the best athletes on the team being the receivers or the running backs or potentially the quarterbacks, depending on which year you're talking about, the best athletes on the field are the corners, are the safeties, and really the safeties this year, I would say, are the best athletes all around on this team. And the linebackers are really good. But I still think the most important aspect to this team and to this defense specifically is the amount of depth that they have at the defensive tackle position specifically, but all across this defense. Evan Bame talked to me about this yesterday and just the amount of depth that they have at defensive tackle and how difficult that is to play against four guys that are constantly rotating in and out of the lineup. This is Evan Bame yesterday at Media Days.
Oh my gosh, especially when they rotate. I mean, when you're out there for 10, 11 plays and then they come in fresh, you have to get right back underneath yourself and go when they're going full speed. And that's what's helped us a lot this past camp, and it's going to help us a lot moving into Saturday, is that we know what it takes to do against one of the great guys, one of the four of those guys are great, and they do a great job. And you know, it's exciting to go against those guys each and every time, because we firmly believe we're going against the best here, and once you go against the best, you tend to get better and better each and every time.
I look at this defensive line, and I look at the defensive tackles, and I look at the defense in general, and I see a defense that has the potential to be special. And we've all talked about the offense and the fact that if Matty Mock has a great year, the offense has the potential to be really, really good. But very few of us have talked about the fact that for this team to be great, it's not the offense that needs to be good. It's the defense that needs to be elite. Because you're playing in a division right now with a bunch of weak offenses. If you can have a defense that takes advantage of the opposing team's mistakes, and Mizzou, by the way, 44 straight games right now with a turnover, by far the longest streak in Division I football. If they can continue that streak this season, if they can continue doing what we saw last year with the defensive line and getting pressure on the opposing quarterback, if they can have a newfound inside pressure that they didn't have last year with this defensive tackle rotation that I believe is going to be the best in the country, if the cornerbacks are as good as I believe they're going to be, this defense could be elite. This defense could, as I said, rival that 2010 defense that ranked 6th in the country and gave up 16 points a game. I believe that they could do that. I believe that this defense is good enough to do that. I'll tell you this much. If you listen to Marcus Golden and you listen to the way that he talks about this defense and you listen to the way that he has a passion for what they are doing each and every day out there, I'll tell you this much. At the very least, you shouldn't be concerned about this week them laying an egg against South Dakota State. This is, once again, Marcus Golden to me yesterday at Media Days.
Yes, every game. It don't matter if we playing them or we playing SEC teams, Big 12 teams. It don't matter. Whoever we play that week, like in this week in South Dakota, we come out to make a statement. We come out to show that we can play football, and that's what it is. That's why I love being a Missouri Tiger.
That's Marcus Golden, and that's the guy that you are going to love, Mizzou fans. Mizzou fans are going to fall in love with Marcus Golden this year. First of all, because he's really good. He's talented. He's fun to watch. He's exciting. He's a really good player in general. But he's also very honest, and he's also very candid, and he's also a really good interview. I know that means a lot more to us than it does to some of you guys a lot of the time, but you're going to hear some quotes, and I will have one coming up for you probably tomorrow on the show from Marcus Golden. That is just an all-timer. You got to listen to the show 7 to 8 a.m. here on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM to hear that tomorrow here on the Morning Blitz. But coming up next, Tebow. But seriously, though, it really might be time. We'll discuss what the Rams are going to do with their quarterback position. That's next on the Morning Blitz on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. And welcome back. It is the Morning Blitz here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. Coming up at 7:45, just about 15 minutes or so now, Matt Miller of BleacherReport.com, one of my favorite guys to have on, one of the best NFL analysts out there. He'll join us here in 15 minutes. I will ask him what I'm about to ask you guys. What do the Rams do now? What's next for the Rams? I'll tell you what I think they should do. I think it might be time to bring in Tim Tebow. I know it sounds laughable. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds ridiculous. And I know a lot of you are going to say, dude, but Tebow is not good. And you're going to have the same response to this as I have to everybody when they tell me that somebody should bring Tim Tebow in. And look, I agree with you. I don't think Tim Tebow's a great quarterback. But what other option do the Rams have right now? Are you telling me that Sean Hill's a great option? Are you telling me that trading for Chase Daniel's a great option? Are you telling me that trading for Ryan Mallett from the New England Patriots, who might even be cut, is a great option? I just don't see it. I don't see what the Rams do at this point that is a good option. I don't think they have any good options. You got to have somebody playing quarterback for you. You got to have somebody that gives you a chance to win. Or, worst comes to worst, you got to have somebody that's going to be so bad that you don't have the opportunity to be good. With Tim Tebow, I don't know what it's going to be. I think you probably know that he's not going to be very good. I think you probably know that realistically, he's going to struggle to throw the football the same way that he struggled to throw the football his entire professional career. I think that's all very fair to say. But I also think that there is an off chance that maybe you catch lightning in the bottle. Maybe you get what Tim Tebow was first 9 games that he was as a starter with the Broncos. Maybe you get a little bit of that Tebow magic. Realistically, probably not. probably you will have a guy that's going to come in and win six games for you. You end up with a top 10 pick and you pick your quarterback of the future next year. But at least then you've got a guy that's interesting for fans to watch. At least then the Rams will bring fans in the stands, because what we're looking at right now is bigger than just the Rams quarterback situation. We all know that, right? What we're looking at is a team that could potentially move. I know it's kind of the purple elephant in the room and nobody really wants to talk about it, but if this team is bad again, if this team is really low in attendance again, I mean, how is that going to look? Is that really going to convince Kroenke and his group that he shouldn't move the Rams back to LA? Because the NFL's going to move teams to LA. And by the way, I don't know where we got this idea that it's only going to be one team in LA. For the NFL to do this right, they're probably going to take two teams to LA, which means just because Minnesota's lease has a problem right now, just because the Jaguars are having attendance issues, that doesn't mean that the Rams are off the hook. So the Rams need to be interesting this year. They don't necessarily have to be great. They don't necessarily even have to be good. They've got to be interesting, though. And for the past, 7 years? When was the last time that the Rams were interesting for fans? When was the last time that Rams fans went into the season and said, you know what? This team might be a little bit fun to watch. I don't know if they're going to be good, but I think they're going to be fun to watch. The Chiefs last year, I felt like, you know what? Going into the season, this team could be fun to watch. I don't know if they're going to be good. I think they're going to be good, but I'm not sure. But I know that they've got Jamal Charles. I know they've got a quarterback that I can believe in for the first time in God knows how long. I know that they've got a head coach that I can believe in for the first time since Dick Vermeil in the early 2000s. So I told myself, you know what? This team could be fun to watch. I believed that the Rams coming into the year when Sam Bradford was going to be their quarterback were going to be interesting. Because Sam Bradford was a guy that I just couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't think he was very good personally, but I could listen to an argument saying that he was a good quarterback. And by the way, you can get involved. 573-882-8262 is the text line. You can tweet me at BK Sports Talk. You can also get involved on Facebook, facebook.com/TheMorningBlitz. I just don't know what other option the Rams have right now. I think their best option is to go out and make a bold move, make a move that many of us think would be crazy, but that I think all of us can agree would be interesting. And that move is to bring in Tim Tebow. Maybe he doesn't end up starting. Maybe he ends up being awful and you start Sean Hill anyway. But what's the problem in trying? What's the problem in bringing in a guy that could or maybe won't have an impact on your season? What's the issue? What's the harm in giving an effort? I mean, I'm looking at the Rams' schedule right now. Look, they've got the NFC West, which is going to be difficult. They've got 8 games against the NFC West. But they've also got the AFC West and the NFC East. I don't know if you've paid a ton of attention to the NFC East heading into this season, but it has the potential to be all-time bad. Eli Manning was talking before the season about how he was going to complete 75% of his passes. He was talking about how the offense is going to fit him perfectly. He was talking about how this is just going to be the year for him. Well, since then, in preseason, he's completed about 60% of his passes, and he's been brutal. He's been just an absolutely dreadful quarterback. It's the same thing with Washington. They don't even know what they're going to do right now. And Philly's a decent team. Dallas has the potential to be a nightmare defensively, like in a bad way. Like, that team has the potential to be all-time bad on defense. And the AFC West is no good. The Chiefs are going to take a step back this year. I don't think San Diego's all that great. I like their offense. The defense is questionable to me. And the Raiders, in my opinion, we don't know a ton about the NFL, and I'm going to ask Matt Miller about this actually coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. The Raiders, I feel like, are one of the only teams that I know what to expect from them this year. I know they're going to be bad. So your schedule's difficult against the NFC West, sure. But the rest of your schedule sets up pretty nicely. You've got Minnesota to start the year. That's a winnable game. I mean, they're going to start Matt Castle. You got a chance to win that game. Tampa Bay's the second week of the year. You could win that game. Going to be tough, but you can win that game. Dallas after that, that defense is going to be terrible. You can easily win that game. And then at Philly, tough, but winnable. I think that the Rams need to go the interesting route here. Because I don't think they're going to be able to make the playoffs regardless. I think in this division, when you've got San Francisco, Seattle, and Arizona, all three teams have the potential to be playoff teams. What you've got to go for here is interesting. What you've got to go for here is you got to remember that something bigger is on the line than just a 7-9 season versus a 5-11 season. What's on the line here is your future in St. Louis. What's on the line here is your fan base. Because the Rams haven't been good in about 15 years. You can't just be bad for 15 years and expect your fans to live with it. That's not how pro sports work. Look at what the Royals are doing right now. The Royals have been bad for 29 years, and people are wondering why the attendance hasn't bumped up yet. Well, the reason why the attendance hasn't bumped up significantly is because people are hesitant to buy in. Same thing with the Rams. You've seen in the past the Rams have shown flashes of potentially being good again. Rams fans don't want to buy in because they're beaten down at this point. Rams fans don't believe that they're going to be good. And why should they? So I don't know if you can be good this year. I think that realistically, your ceiling is probably close to 8-8. I don't think you can be much better than 8-8 this year. I think the only reason you could be that good is because the schedule sets up nicely for you. So we might as well be interesting. Might as well go out there and make a move that makes the fans interested in the season. I don't know. I'd go after Tebow, though. I think it'd be the best move that they've got. I think it's the only move that they've got at this point. Coming up next, he certainly doesn't lack confidence. And his teammates seem to love him. But I'm still a little skeptical. We'll discuss it next on the Morning Blitz on KCOU 88.1 FM and online, KCOU.FM.
I don't know. I'm going to be comfortable, but I can't wait for it to be Saturday. So that's going to be the main thing, just make sure I'm staying hydrated and all week, just focused on the game, and it'll be here before I know it.
That is Matty Mock yesterday at Mizzou Media Days. I'm Brandon Kiley. The show is The Morning Blitz. We're coming to you live on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. Coming up here in just under 10 minutes, Matt Miller, he is at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. He's the lead NFL draft and NFL analyst at BleacherReport.com. He's going to be joining us to discuss what we just discussed in Sam Bradford and what the Rams do next. Plus, do the Chiefs have a legitimate option in Travis Kelce? And what's going on with this defense? We'll discuss all that and more coming up here in just about 10 minutes with Matt Miller. But Matty Mock is the discussion that we are going to have all season. It's the discussion that Mizzou's season honestly kind of relies on. Because with a great quarterback in the SEC this year, I think you can win the East. With a great quarterback in the SEC this year, I think you can make it to the college football playoff. And that's not just for Mizzou, that's for just about anybody. Because there's just not many quarterbacks returning. You look at Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, South Carolina, Mizzou, everybody lost their starter. So if you get great quarterback play from a guy that you're not expecting it from, all of a sudden, you put yourself right into the national conversation, not for a 10-2 year or an 11-1 year or anything that doesn't mean it. No, you put yourself in the conversation for a national championship. It's real. It's tangible. It's right there. Mizzou's been right there, by the way, twice in the last 10 years. There are probably 15 teams in the country that can say that. Maybe less. Maybe closer to the 10 mark. Mizzou against Oklahoma in, what was that, 2010? I believe 2007. 2007 when Chase Daniel was still here. And then last year, if they win one game at the end of the year, Mizzou's not just playing for the Cotton Bowl. They're not playing for a BCS Bowl. They're playing for the national championship. It's all right in front of them. They're one game away, and they've been one game away twice. This is a team that's on the national spotlight at this point. It's a team that people have to take seriously. And it all starts with Matty Mock. I told you earlier that I believe the defense can be elite. And if they are, Matty Mock's going to have all the opportunities in the world to be great. He's going to have a defense that he can believe in. He's going to be willing to take shots. And by the way, Matty Mock's going to be willing to take shots. He's just got to be consistent. He's got to be ready to go out there and be consistent and be a guy that the fans and that his teammates can believe in. And look, he doesn't lack confidence, and his teammates seem to really love him. I mean, listen to Evan Boehm on what Matty Mock is improvising does for the offensive line.
You know, Matty's going to be Matty, and we know that. And so all we're going to have to do is sit back and protect. And that's our job, and our job is to protect Matty, to let him get the ball into the playmaker's hands and to make holes for the running backs. And you know what? We'll go out there and we'll do that. If Matty decides to roll out, he rolls out. If he wants to stay in the pocket, he'll have the pocket there.
So Evan basically gives you the company line there, saying, "Look, Matty's going to be Matty. We're gonna do whatever we can to make sure that he's good." But Coach Pinkel's actually he speaks pretty honestly about Matty Mock, and he speaks in a way that you feel like he really likes this kid, and he really believes that this kid's going to be good, and he wants him to be good. Like, it's almost like he's rooting for him. This is what Gary Pinkel had to say about Matty Mock's leadership and how that's changed over the course of the last year.
I think he's really done a good job. You know, he's a very natural leader. He's very an unthreatening leader. You know, players like him. You know, he's not a guy that just kind of, you know, he's got a great work ethic. You know, he works, you know, real, real hard. I think that's the most important as a leader. And then, you know, obviously it's a position where you got to produce. But there's no question about our players believe in him. I believe in him. And he just got to understand that, you know, that he's got a lot of people around that can help him do well too. And he doesn't have to do everything.
So that's Gary Pinkel yesterday on Matty Mock and about his leadership. I just worry. I'm really worried about Mock, not because I don't think that he can be good, because I think he can, but it goes back to that consistency. Mock's been flat out bad in scrimmages, like dreadful. And his teammates, like you just heard from Evan Boehm, and his coaches, like you just heard from Gary Pinkel, really seem to have the utmost confidence in him. And they seem to really believe that this guy can be a good quarterback for Mizzou. They seem to believe that he is the next in the long line of quarterbacks that has had success here at the University of Missouri. But I'm a little bit worried about the overall consistency for Matty Mock. Because we saw time and time again over the course of the fall in these scrimmages, he'll throw one high, he'll throw one low, he'll throw one a little too far, he'll throw one a little bit too short. And it was very odd to see when you're hearing about how good he's been over the course of the summer and over the course of the spring, and he's changed his body. He's thinner now. He's ready to go. But he didn't look ready to go in terms of how he played in the scrimmages. But I guess, maybe he's just one of those gamers. Maybe he's one of those guys that in scrimmages, the lights aren't bright enough, and he doesn't perform to the same level. And he kind of talked about that actually yesterday at Media Day. This is about what he had to say about coming out firing and being ready for game number one as opposed to just playing in a scrimmage.
No, not at all. I'm not worried about any of that. It's a scrimmage. We're going out there against our own defense. So when we get out there and we're going to get unscripted stuff, that's going to be different. And we're going to be ready Saturday, and we're going to come out firing.
Now, regardless of what I think, I know this much. Matty Mock is excited about this game on Saturday. He couldn't hide it in his voice. He couldn't hide it in what he was trying to say. He just constantly said, "Look, man, I'm excited. I'm anxious. I'm ready. I'm nervous. But I'm really ready for this game."
I think it's a little bit different because I'm coming in knowing it's my time to go out there and play. So I've had all year. It's just been killing me to go out there and practice. I'm ready to go. I've been ready, and Saturday night we start, and I'm going to be ready to go.
So I'm not sure if Matty Mock's going to be great. I'm not sure Matty Mock's going to be the guy that we all expected him to be. I'm not sure what to expect from Matty Mock. I know this much. I know that I am nervous about Matty Mock. I know that I'm going to be fine with him, I think, through the first four games, because Mizzou should breeze through these first four games. If they don't, then that's a cause for concern, and that's another discussion in and of itself. But I'm worried that when Mizzou gets into the SEC schedule, when Mizzou plays South Carolina or Georgia, those types of teams that have really good defenses, Florida, that's when I'm concerned about Matty Mock's consistency. That's when I'm concerned that he'll make a throw that comes back to bite him. That's when I'm concerned that his overall, the way that he plays is going to potentially hurt this team, even though they do have, in my opinion, a great defense. So am I confident in him? Maybe not. Am I hopeful? Yeah, definitely. But I'm also anxious and I'm also nervous about what he brings to the table, because I'm just honestly not sure if we know what he brings to the table at this point. And that makes me nervous as a Mizzou fan, because you just never know. It's the fear of the unknown, but it's also the hope that comes with the unknown, because you hope that he can be the player that you all that we all expect him to be. Coming up next, what should the Rams do about their quarterback situation? And what's the realistic expectation for the Chiefs this year? We'll discuss all that and more with Matt Miller, the lead NFL analyst for BleacherReport.com. It's next on the Morning Blitz, KCOU 88.1 FM, KCOU.FM. And welcome back. It is the Morning Blitz here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. We are joined now by my guy, Matt Miller. He is at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. You can also read his work on BleacherReport.com. Matt, how are you doing this morning, my man?
Doing great, Matt. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Been too long. It's finally football season. We can finally talk about some real tangible on-field stuff. What are the Chiefs going to do about this offensive line? It looks like it's just in shambles right now.
You know, it really does. And it's funny because you could kind of see it all coming together over the course of the offseason. You know, they lose three guys who started for them last year with John Osamoa, Brandon Howard, Jeff Short. And it looks like, okay, they're going to go young. And you know, Eric Fisher is finally going to step into that left tackle role. Donald Stevenson was a guy I really liked as a guy who was going to take that next step. Now he's suspended. Fisher has struggled. So it's definitely a concern in Kansas City. I can tell you that, you know, they will be looking at the roster cutdowns as they happen this week to see if someone gets put out there that maybe they can grab and be a contributor. You know, they did that last year. They picked up Marcus Cooper, and he helped quite a bit. So I think that they have to, you know, have those pro scouting guys really paying attention to every player who hits the market and saying, is this a guy who can help us? Because they need it pretty badly right now, especially with that suspension of Stevenson. That's really going to throw the entire offensive line into kind of a weird situation.
I know you mentioned looking at the waiver wire potentially, but doesn't it make a huge difference that last year they were number one in that waiver wire and this year they're down in the early 20s?
Absolutely. It's a huge change. And, you know, Peter King had a great note in Monday Morning Quarterback this week about the Houston Texans have even brought in their college scouting guys, and they've said, okay, you are going to scout these preseason games because we have waiver priority. So for people who don't know, the team with the worst record in the NFL the year before have priority on the waiver wire. So if let's say the Baltimore Ravens cut a player, well, this year the Texans had priority to say, we want that guy. And last year the Chiefs did a great job of taking advantage of that. I think they picked up six or seven players who actually made the roster who were previously cut by another team. So it's definitely something that you have to be aware of. And I think teams are getting smarter about preparing for cutdowns because there are so many talented players who are just let go out there now, and you can definitely find a steal if you're paying attention.
So the offensive line's a question for Kansas City. The wide receiver group, I think most people can say, is a question for Kansas City. A lot of people have questions about the quarterback play as well. What can fans feel good about on this offense other than Jamaal Charles?
Well, I think Travis Kelce has looked good at tight end. Yeah, you know, we didn't get to see him last year because of injury, but he's a playmaker, and we've seen some speed from him. And I think that's really what the offense has missed, you know, probably since Tony Gonzalez, is a playmaking tight end. And you know, with Dwayne Bowe suspended for the opener, You know, they're going to rely on guys like Donnie Avery and A.J. Jenkins and Junior Hemingway at receiver, which is terrifying. So I think we're going to see a heavy dose of Jamaal Charles, a lot of Niall Davis. Hopefully they can work Anthony Thomas into, you know, some options as a receiver in kind of a Darren Sproles type role. But I think Kelsey's going to be probably the primary focus of that passing game, at least early on.
We're speaking with Matt Miller. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. You can read his stuff. It's excellent. On BleacherReport.com, he's their lead NFL and NFL draft analyst. So switching gears to the defense, is this defense going to be as good as they were last year, or did they just take too many hits in the secondary?
You know, I think they've taken too many hits in the secondary, and they're going to be better at spots. You know, I think Alan Bailey is a nice addition at a left defensive end with his athletic ability. Dontari Poe is only going to be better. We know how good the linebackers are with Houston, Johnson, and Holly. I think adding someone like Dee Ford is really going to help out. James Michael Johnson has impressed me as well as another inside linebacker. So they have a good group there. But in the secondary, I mean, you start to worry. I thought Brandon Flowers was, you know, really misused last year. They tried to move him inside, have him play in the slot. I don't think that's what he does well. So we'll see this year. I do like Marcus Cooper as a guy who is a developmental player, and they've gone to this longer, leaner type of corner now. You know, Phillip Gaines, Sean Smith, they have Ron Parker, who is a pickup from Seattle. So they have guys who have some size and some length now. They just need to develop. But I think it could be another rough year. Eric Berry, obviously a good player, but you know, the other three positions in the secondary are pretty big question marks.
Do we know what's going on with Eric Berry? I know it's some kind of heel, like tendonitis or something. Is that something that, I don't know how much you know on the subject, but is that something that's going to hurt him throughout the season, or is that just something that's going to hurt him for the preseason?
You know, it's something you have to watch because, you know, little injuries like that can definitely become a chronic issue where, you know, it flares up, you know, in the middle of the week or in a game. It's just never, you know, when you're talking about your feet, injuries there are pretty, you know, delicate. So whether it's a toe or a heel, with Barry's being a heel injury, I think it's something that you definitely have to watch. I think they're being smart about, you know, kind of being precautionary in the preseason, you know, letting him miss practice, you know, miss the Carolina game. But it's definitely something that if you're a pessimist and you're looking at the Chiefs secondary and Eric Berry being hurt, you're not feeling very good right now.
Once again, we're speaking with Matt Miller. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He does great work on BleacherReport.com as well. So I think Chiefs fans are pretty much expecting to take a step back this year. But what kind of record can Chiefs fans be expecting this year? Is this like an 8-8 team, or is this something that's going to go all the way down to 6-10 or something like that?
You know, I think right in that range. I think 6-10, 8-8 is realistic because Alex Smith is still a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, but he's good, and he can get things done for you. Jamaal Charles, one of the top three running backs in the NFL, and you can make an argument that his skill set is the best. So I think they have the pieces to win games. It's a tough division. It's a very tough schedule because of the games they won last year. So we'll see. I am worried, but I think the good news is that Andy Reid and John Dorsey are building for the future. I think last year was a surprise year for them. I don't know that they expected to be as good as they were. So now you look at a team who, you know, they made some hard decisions for the health of their salary cap long term, letting those starters on offense go. And now they're building toward the future. A ton of compensatory picks are coming up next year. They'll have a lot more money available on the books, depending on what happens, you know, with Justin Houston, with Alex Smith, with Tom Bahali. So this is a team that's building long term. And I think they're headed in the right direction still.
Let's go ahead and switch gears and go to the team across the state line on the St. Louis side of the state. What are the Rams going to do now that Sam Bradford went down for the year? Are they really just going to turn to Sean Hill?
You know, it would not surprise me. I know it's a different coach, but everyone was surprised when Dick Vermeil just went with Kurt Warner after Trent Green got
hurt. But is Sean Hill Kurt Warner?
You know, probably not, but I think there's a precedent for, you know, staying the course. An injury so late in the preseason is brutal because even if you traded for Ryan Mallett, he doesn't know the offense. And, you know, you're going to have to spend 4 to 5 weeks teaching him the offense, helping him implement it. And then you have to worry about getting him reps in practice so that he can, you know, learn the offense and work with the first team guys. So I think you actually really hurt your team by making a move as opposed to maybe going with a guy who, you know, Sean Hill, a good backup quarterback. You know, I've seen him in San Francisco and Detroit, and he's strung together a nice little career as a backup. I think what you like with him is that he does know the offense. He knows the players. He knows that locker room. And he's going to be safe and smart with the ball. And they do have Austin Davis as a young guy who, a little more athletic, looks pretty good in the preseason. So you have some different options there. If Hill doesn't look great, then I think you can definitely, you know, look at maybe you try to bring in Kyle Orton at some point if Sean Hill doesn't work out, because Orton has been around the league. I think him installing and implementing an offense on short notice would be a lot easier than someone like Mallett, who's only been in New England. He only knows that type of terminology. So it's a situation to watch. If a quarterback does get cut this week, I could see them bringing someone in. But as far as trading for a quarterback, I'd be pretty surprised at this point.
I think I agree with you on that. I just don't know if it's worth giving up an asset when you're going to be as bad as the Rams seem to be this year, especially in that division. But when I look at this team and I look at their expectations and I look at Sam Bradford, this has got to be it for Sam Bradford, right? This is the end of that experiment in St. Louis.
You know, I think so. And it's funny because hindsight now says, God, they should have drafted a quarterback with one of those picks that they got from Washington, or just stayed pat at number two and drafted Robert Griffin. So I do think that Sam Bradford is probably done. He's under contract until the end of next season, but it's structured in a way that they can really, you know, cut him after this year and move on and save some money. And I think, like you said, if you're a Rams fan, it's almost better to not be good this year, because you want to be in that running to get Marcus Mariota or Brett Hundley or a guy like Jameis Winston if he comes out of Florida State. So I think Rams fans are going to be watching a lot of college football this year and having their eyes on the quarterbacks.
God, it seems like Rams fans have been doing that for the last 10 years, though. I just feel bad for them. Once again, we're joined by Matt Miller. He is at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. You can read his work on BleacherReport.com. I have a question for you that's kind of a little bit more abstract than the ones that we've been focusing on in the first few minutes of this interview. What across the NFL, when you look at these teams, do we know? Because right now, I feel like other than San Francisco, Denver, and Seattle, and then maybe New England as well, I don't know who's going to be good. Like, yeah, I could listen to an argument that the Chiefs are going to be good this year, but I could also see them going 6-10. Do we know anything definitively other than those four or five teams?
You know, we really don't. And that's what's always, you know, kind of fun about the NFL, is you have that top tier. You know, it's like, okay, these teams could win a Super Bowl, and I feel pretty good about that. But then you have that next group, you know, Indianapolis, New Orleans, you could maybe put Philadelphia in there. Teams who, it's like, if they get one or two breaks, or, you know, if a young guy comes out of nowhere who maybe we weren't expecting to be so good this year, that they could be a nice story. And then you have the groups, you know, Kansas City, St. Louis, the teams who have talent, but there's something missing. And so, to me, there's always tiers of teams in the NFL. And I think, like you said, you have that top group, and it's like four or five teams who have a really good shot at putting everything together and making a deep run. But I'll tell you, San Francisco has looked pretty bad. Now, I know it's one of the preseasons. No one wants to panic over a couple preseason games, but they have a lot of work to do before they, you know, have to travel to Dallas for the opener, because they just haven't looked like themselves on offense so far.
I mentioned them as one of the teams that I think is going to for sure be good this year, and that's Seattle. Is this the first time in the last, almost 10 years that a team's going to be able to win a playoff game after going to the Super Bowl the previous year, or winning the Super Bowl the previous year?
No, I think so, yeah, and that's a great stat that, you know, I think it is 10 years since a team has won, the Super Bowl winning team won a playoff game the next year. I look at, you know, when Green Bay won the Super Bowl in 2010, they looked like a team who, they had the talent to repeat. You know, you have Aaron Rodgers, you had Charles Woodson, and they struggled. So you always wonder, you know, with Seattle, there was a lot of turnover there on offense and defense. They let a lot of guys go. They're going young at a lot of positions, but the structure there is so good. So it would take, I would think, something like Russell Wilson getting hurt, Richard Sherman getting hurt, something pretty catastrophic for them to not be, you know, a number one seed or a number two seed in the NFC, which, if they're playing at home, they're going to win a playoff game, because that, you know, playing up there is just impossible right now.
Once again, joined by Matt Miller, just like one more question here. If people are looking for a team to watch this year that could surprise some people, and I don't want to hear Indianapolis on this because I think that's crazy talk, who's a team that they could watch as a dark horse, I guess, Super Bowl potential team?
won't let me say the Colts. So I'll go Chicago Bears. I think, you know, you probably hear this a lot, and you will in the future too, but Jay Cutler looks like a different player this year. I think he's bought in more to what Mark Trestman is doing. To have the pieces around him, to have the offensive line, if they can stay healthy on defense, which has been a big problem for them, I think they could surprise people. They made a ton of additions. They, you know, brought in five new guys to help with the pass rush. They're healthy in the secondary, and they drafted pretty well there with Kyle Fuller and Brock Vereen. So I think the Bears would definitely be a team to watch.
He's the best. He's Matt Miller. He's at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. You can read his work on BleacherReport.com. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. We got to do it again soon, man.
You bet, man. Have a great day.
Yep, you too. That is Matt Miller. He is on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. You can also read his work on BleacherReport.com. Thought that was interesting. You went with the Bears. They're one of my surprise teams for this year. That NFC North, I think, could be a really fun division to watch. I mean, you've got who I think is going to be really good in Green Bay, but you've also got the Bears, who could be good, and then you've got the Lions, who, God knows, we have no idea what to expect from the Lions on a yearly basis, but I think Stafford's in for a really big year. And then I just don't know what to expect from Minnesota, because if they go with Matt Castle, I think that's going to be a disaster. But if they go with Teddy Bridgewater, I could see it being interesting. I don't know if they're going to be good, but I could see it being an interesting 6-10 type of a team. And that would be fun to watch. I think that might be one of the more underrated divisions in all of football right now. Once again, he said Sam Bradford, experiment probably done in St. Louis. He said Sean Hill's the next guy up, and he expects him to be the Rams starter going into the season and throughout the season. Said Chiefs fans, 6-10 to 8-8 is an expectation for you. Interesting stuff and great stuff, as always, from Matt Miller. He's at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. We will have him on throughout the NFL season. He is truly outstanding, as some of the best work that's out there right now. I'm Brandon Kiley. Coming up next, another guy with some of the best work out there, Reed Foster. He's up next with The Fix on KCOU 88.1 FM online, KCOU.fm.